The miracle of the resurrection is the miracle of all miracles. There was none greater, and there will be none greater. All those whom Jesus raised from the dead, the widow's son, Lazarus, Jairus' daughter, all died a natural death afterwards, but it's Jesus who never died again, but went to heaven alive. It is not a miracle by Jesus, but a miracle of Jesus. The whole Christian faith stands on the reality of the resurrection. We are here today all because of the resurrection. He is alive. The resurrection of Christ is a crucial point of human history. The resurrection should be the very center of our faith. If Christ is not being raised from the dead, you are still in your sins, says St. Paul. That's why Jesus died, so that your sins might be taken away. They are not taken away if crucifixion wasn't followed by the resurrection. Furthermore, if Jesus is not raised from the dead, then he has no power to live. He's dead. His words might have some influence, but he himself has no power. This is why the resurrection is so central to Christians. This is why the resurrection is so essential for every believer. Christianity is not a religion based on abstract feelings or abstract principles. Christianity is a relationship with a living God. A Savior we can know. A Savior who infuses our life and empowers us, who transforms us into His likeness, into His image, the way He made us in the first place. Do you realize that every Sunday is the celebration of the resurrection? Until Jesus rose from the dead, nobody ever thought of setting aside Sunday as a day of worship. Jews, you know, worship on a Saturday. The religion of Islam followed Christianity, worship on Friday. The Romans used to worship once every month. In fact, they had two special days a month when they used to worship. It's a revolution to have a weekly day of worship on a Sunday. Nothing less than a revolution. It's all because Jesus rose from the dead on this day. Sunday was first named by the ancient Babylonians, followed by Romans. They named after the brightest light in heaven. What a strange thing to do. And done long before Christ was born. They had no idea how appropriate it was going to be. For the brightest light that was ever shown from heaven was Jesus Christ himself. We worship on Sunday because that's the day, not when he died, but the day on which he rose from the dead. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday for Christians. Every Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. That's why we are planning to celebrate next Sunday as Ukrainian Sunday. As we are going to celebrate next Sunday as Orthodox Easter, because our Ukrainian friends celebrate Easter a week later than us. Every Sunday, we commemorate the day when Jesus brought life and immortality to life through his resurrection. And the last enemy of my life and yours, death, was conquered once and for all. So let's go back to the first Sunday, the first day of the week, when some women came to the tomb early morning. All four Gospels record the story of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, but they vary on some points. Some say there were two angels, some say there were one angel. You know, there are some variations. But what is consistent is the day. That is the first day of the week. And that it is Mary Magdalene who is the first to go to the tomb. St. John presents us with the resurrection narrative that lies at the heart of the gospel. Jesus, who was crucified, has been raised. We see Mary, Peter, and an unnamed disciple discovering that Jesus' tomb is now empty. The outward and visible sign that Jesus has conquered death and the grave and a new creation has begun. And we are witnesses to the moment when Mary weeps a risen Lord. Her griefs turn to joy, and she brings to us the good news that has been proclaimed throughout the ages. I have seen the Lord. Mary Magdalene is the first one of Jesus' followers at the tomb. When she arrived, the stone was already taken away. John does not record whether she actually looked into the tomb, but her response and report to Peter in verse 2 of our gospel this morning indicates that whatever she did, she convinced her that Jesus' body had been taken away. Perhaps the bodies of the guards were still lying there, passed out. If that were the scene, it would have led a reasonable person to think that some strong group of people had overpowered the guard and stolen the body. She was quite distressed and ran back to tell Peter what she believed has happened. Then we are told about the experiences of Peter and the unnamed disciple, identified only as the one whom Jesus loved, most probably John himself. By their experiences, we should note that the tomb is truly empty. When Peter and then the other disciple entered, they saw nothing except the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head. Peter and John, the two, go home. There are no shouts of joy, no celebration. The emptiness of the tomb does not seem yet have made a difference. But we are told in our gospel, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. The focus returns to Mary, standing outside the tomb, weeping. Love lingers long. Love and devotion linger long. She does this time enter the tomb, but still convinced that her Lord was dead and his body had been stolen. She looking in, she saw two young men, angels we read, sitting inside. Woman, why are you weeping? They asked her. In the early light of the dawn, they seemed to be looking not at her, but someone behind her. Turning, she saw a man standing there, the light behind him, whom she thought to be the gardener, who asked her the same question, "Woman, why are you weeping?" But he also asked, "For whom are you looking?" It is too far from her mind that Jesus could be alive. So even though she hears Jesus speak, she does not recognize him. It should be noted that Jesus asked for whom Mary was looking and not what. Mary was searching for a dead body, for remains.
But Jesus' question directed her to look for a person. Look for a living God. Today the world is looking for many other things apart from Jesus. Yet all we need is Jesus Christ. Yes. As Jesus said to Martha in Luke's Gospel, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will never be taken away from her. We might be worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary: to look for Jesus. It seems very strange to me that Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John were so shocked and surprised when they came to the tomb that morning. Why did they not rejoice to find the tomb empty? Why did they all respond like this if they had been told at least three times by Jesus himself that he would rise again on the third day? Some commentators have tried to suggest that they responded like this because they were too blinded by overwhelming emotions. It happens to us. Overwhelming emotions. They had been terribly traumatized when they saw Jesus in such a hopeless and helpless and pitiful state when the Roman soldiers had mistreated him so badly. They were too overwhelmed by intense feelings of fear and of their own insecurity. All these had cut such deep wounds into their hearts and minds that they completely forgot all that Jesus had said about his resurrection from the dead. Friends in Christ, let us live by faith in the Lord, not by sight. Let us live by faith in the Lord, not by feelings and emotions. So that we may grasp every hope that is ours. We need to have faith in order to grasp every hope that God has given to us. But we so quickly forget the promises of God. Because we look at the overwhelming circumstances. We look at the situation that is beyond our control. And we say, nothing can be done. And we forget the promises of God. Sometimes we are too caught up in the trap of hopelessness. This is also what had happened to Mary and the disciples. But Jesus has to speak one word to her, open her eyes. We remember what Jesus said before. The good shepherd calls his own sheep by name. They know his voice. With indescribable tenderness, he simply uttered her name, Mary. I wonder how he must have said that. And it is in Aramaic, not in Greek, if you read the original text. It's in the local dialect, Aramaic. He said, Miriam, or Mary. Mary instantly recognized his voice, just as any one of us would recognize a loved one's voice, say, on the phone. Hearing her name, Mary cried, Rabboni, which means teacher. She seized him by the feet and began to weep tears of joy. Faith comes by listening to his voice when he speaks to us. And he speaks to us through his word, through his people, through his church. In her case, the moment of faith came not from what he saw, what she saw, but from what she heard. Jesus said to her, do not hold on to me, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. This is the first time Jesus called them brothers. In the entire gospel, this is the first time Jesus called them brothers. Believers are granted
the same relationship with God as Jesus has. He was a son by nature, but we are children by adoption. We have come full circle from the prologue's promise that all who receive and believe the word was given power to become children of God. So Mary went and told the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Mary Magdalene is sometimes known as the apostle to the apostles, and indeed she is, because she was the first resurrection preacher in the Bible. So I would like to conclude with a question. Why are you present here this morning? What are you looking for? It happens also to be the first question Jesus asked in the Gospel of John. What are you looking for? He asked two disciples of John the Baptist who start following him instead. And the question of invitation that frames the entire story is asked of every one of us as we read it. What are you looking for? It is a question that asks us to discern and articulate our deepest longings, longings that, to John's way of thinking, are addressed ultimately and fully only by an encounter with God in Christ. Why are we meeting here at St. Clement's this morning? I suspect it's because we are a lot like Mary Magdalene. Like her in our weeping, in our distress, like her in our seeking, and wanting to be like her too, in witnessing the glorious good news of this Easter day. May Mary's courage, devotion, love, and faith inspire us to live as joyful witnesses to the resurrection. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.